Okay, we're picking up from the Gemara on Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. We are 8 lines from the top with the next Mishnah. The Mishnah says, a Sris Chama Kohen Shenasa Bas Yisrael. If a Sris Chama was a Kohen who married to a daughter of Yisraelis, Ma'achila Batruma, he would entitle her to eat Truma. Even though, right, we know a Zar is Asr to eat Truma, a Yisraelis who marries a Kohen is allowed to eat Truma, as we saw that she's the wife that's Kinyan Kaspo. Since a Sris Chama is mutter to marry into the Kehila, then his wife would be allowed also to eat Truma. A Sris Adam, though, we said on the other end, that would be, that's Rabbi Kiva, she's right, that's how we hold, the marrying into the Kehila would be Usher, so then that would be someone who's Rashi points out, then it would be somebody who's a Ptua, a Ptua Daka, and a Ptua Daka is Asher Vabakal, so then her, she would not be entitled to eat Truma if he was a Sris Adam. So that's what we see from the Reish of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Andriganus Kohen Shenasa by Israel. What about Andriganus, who was a Kohen who married the daughter of Israelis? Ma'achila Batruma, he would also entitle her to eat Truma. So they apparently hold that Andriganus is mamish like a male, and therefore his wife would be married to Truma like a regular male who's marrying an Israelis, who would enable her to Kinan Kaspa to now eat Truma. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tumtum Shenikra V'nimta Zachar, for Tumtum, who again, he has this area, he has something, was a person who was born with his private was in his area there that was covered by the flesh, so it was impossible to determine whether he was a male or female, and so they did like this operation to expose it, and they saw that he was found to be a male. Lo yachlo tishenatu chalitza. If there's another brother who could do chalitza, it's mashman Rashi, then maybe that Rashi would hold, even according to Yehuda, if he's the only surviving brother, maybe he would be allowed to be able to do chalitza. It sounds like from the Gemara, though, that that's not the case. The Gemara, and then we'll get to it in Pei Gimel Beis Hashem, that seems to be in Shittas Rabbi Yehuda, is the lo yachlitz forever. Either way, Rashi explains that Rabbi Yehuda mean that he should not perform chalitza where there are other brothers. Maybe Rashi is determining to indicate that it might that the Avama might marry out to the family based on chalitza without the proper chalitza. So therefore, he's telling you that that you should do it from the other brothers. That's what Rashi could be indicating over here. But either way, it's a very important Rashi. So then, lo yachlot b'meishu kisris, because he's like a sris. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he's understanding that even if the tumtum's flesh covering is removed and you found to be a male, you'll be incapable of having children, because, and therefore he's considered a sris who's disqualified from performing yibum. The Bartanura and our Mishnah explains that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the tumtum was removed, is classified as a sris adam. So the Rav, apparently, Rabbi Bartanura, is understanding that it's caused by this operation itself, creates the shame sris adam. Therefore, he's explaining Rabbi Yehuda's understanding that you may not perform chalitza is going to be like Rabbi Eliezer in the preceding Mishnah, who maintains that a sris adam is going to be puzzle from performing chalitza. The lachor that's against what we hold is like Shitas Rabbi Akiva, that a sris adam is qualified to perform chalitza. So lachor, you can do chalitza. So that's the lo yachlitz is like Rabbi Eliezer. I hear how the Bartanu is explaining it. That's what we see from over here. Ibnei Shu Kasris, again, he's considered like a Kasris we just mentioned. Andriganus knows that Avalonis, and Andriganus can marry a woman, however, he cannot be married by a man, because Rechoshe said he's mamish a male, and therefore, he marries a female. He may marry a female, but he may not be taken by wife as a male, for then it'd be chayev misa if it was a male. So that's why we could do that. Rabbi Eliezer Amir, Andriganus chayev alav skila kazachar. Not more than that. Andriganus is mamish like a male, to the point where if he gets married to another male, you're going to be chayev misa. That's the iser deresa of the toeva of a male having relations with another male. That would be the din over here. So clearly that would be aser. So now the Gemara is addressing the case we said that a wife of a sris chama who's a kohen is going to be permitted to eat truma. So says the Gemara Pshita, why would you think that it wouldn't be the case? At the end of the day, he's totally mutter levo bakal. So says the Gemara, no, because now the same, I would have thought, molid meichel, she'ena molid in meichel, that only a kohen who is fit to have children is going to be someone who is therefore going to be able to have this din that entitles his wife to eat truma, and somebody who is not would not be able to. So much more, the Tana therefore informs us that that would not be the case. And we learn from this, Rashi points out, because it says, the daikin of yelid beiso, heim yochlu. Yelid beiso is reference to the case going back to the Salmana, that they're allowed to eat. We see Haroi Laholi, it only may be someone who couldn't be shy after this parsha of having children, that only those who are causing them to eat the truma, that they will be able to have children. That's where we can learn that you would be able to allow you on your account to eat truma. And we say at the end of the day, that's not the case. Kamash Malatana therefore tells us that a Sris Chama would entitle his wife to eat truma. Now the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Omim, Andriganus, who is a Kohen, who is married to the daughter of Israel, entitles her to eat truma. So it says the Gemara, Shlakish, Ma'achila betruma, that even according to Rabbi Yossi, that he's only allowed to feed her in eating truma. Ve'en ma'achila b'chazeh v'shok. He would not entitle her to eat literally the breast and the thigh of kachim kalim. Kachim kalim is the halacha that we know that kachim kalim is allowed to be eaten by the wives of the kohanim. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon permit her to eat truma, but they do not permit her to eat the kachim kalim. which are going to be usher to non-Kohanim, but they're permitted for the wives of Yisraelim, as we learn, right, based on the Mishnayos and the Gemaras and Zvachim. So the Gemara is going to explain the Reish Lakish means to say that they're not allowed to have Truma only, Bizmat, they're only allowed to have Truma when, what's the difference? The Gemara is going to ask, okay, we'll get to the Rashi to point out that this is the Gemara's question, but the Gemara is going to ask at the end of the day, what's the difference? And the Havamina, Truma is Dereisa, and Kachay Kalim is also Dereisa, so what's the difference between the two? The Gemara is going to discuss why Reish Lakish makes the Chiluk, and Rabbi Yochanan says, no, Afna Chiluk Chazav Ashok. That just like they can have Truma Bizman Azeh, so too, it's definitely a male, and therefore she's definitely a Kohen. She's definitely married to a Kohen. She's considered a Kohen. She's married to a Kohen. And Bas Israel married to a Kohen, and therefore she's permitted to eat the dinim that Daraisa, the dinim of Kachar Kalim, and so too the dinim of Truma, which are also going to be more Kal. So the Gemara says, wait a second though. According to Reish Lakish, what in the world is the difference between Kachar Kalim and the din of Truma? So Gemara says, Daraisa, aren't they both the din Daraisa? Truma nami Daraisa. You're going to tell me the Kachar Kalim is din Daraisa. Truma bizman hazeh, the Gemara was assuming, is also a din Daraisa. So the Gemara says, well, actually, that's the point. The Chor, the Gemara was talking about the time of Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara says, no, Hachamai Askinah, we're talking about Truma bizman hazeh, Darabanan. We're talking Truma bizman hazeh, which is only a din Darabanan. Nowadays, that's the whole Shaila, why Truma, Truma Samaisos, and the whole dinim of Shemitah, the Chor, are going to be Dirabanan. There's different, there are different explanations, different statements of Chazal, that you need Rov Yoshvela, you need Rov of the Yidin to be in Eretz Yisrael. That's one thing. Ram seems to also say that you need a Melech, that you need a king. But, Lamaisa, the idea of Rov Yoshvela is very exciting. I mean, exciting and also sad on one hand and sad on the other because, I'll say in a moment, because Eretz Yisrael, by the next Shemitah, it's possible that it will be that for the first time since the time of maybe even by his Rishon, by his Shein, I don't know if we had Rav Shvel, yeah? that there will be more Jews living in Eretz Yisrael than the entire world combined. And the reason that is, that's a great, a very happy achievement, but the reason that's also a little bit of sadness is because the intermarriage rate is so rampant in the rest of the world, that is why that would be the case. If it was just a natural growth right now between Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael, it wouldn't be close. But unfortunately, we're not gaining in America and in England and in all these other countries. We're losing every year, which Agav, we have a chiyuv to try to do our best to make sure that doesn't happen. Mamash, the spiritual holocaust that's happening in America and in England, all these places, the mitzvah to do kiyuv, to mechara v'chokim. But either way, that could be that with the dinim nowadays, for the first time, that the din of Shemitah would be Daraisa, maybe Truma and Maisos might also be Daraisa. But again, there are other indications in the Rav and other, and based on other sources of Chazal, that you might need a Melech, you might need Yovel, a lot of different things, not getting into the whole sugya right now. But either way, Truma Bizman Azeh, everybody agrees, that's how we hold. Also, the Truma is only going to be Dindarabanan. So we, Lachor, we could say that we, the regular classic din of Dindarabanan, Safek Darabanan Lakula, so therefore an Androgynous is only possible Kohen. So therefore, Reish Lakish makes sense that when we are talking about Truma Bizman Azeh Darabanan, however, Truma Bizman Mikdash, though, and it's the race of Yoshua, it'll be din. So the Gemara points out, but what about Bizman Shabbat Yoshua Mai? But according to Reish Lakish, when the base of Mikdash was Kayim, lo, the Truma's not going to be, you're not allowed to do Truma there either. But wait a second, to say bigger chiddush, so he's not allowed to give her the Shris Chama is not allowed to give her the Kachay Kalim, which is Daraisa. Liflik v'nei b'dida, you should say the Madvar Murim b'Truma Darabanan of a Truma Daraisa lo. That even Bizman should be some Mikdash Kayim, there are cases of Truma Darabanan. How do the case of Truma Darabanan Bizman be some Mikdash Kayim? So that is a big machlokas we've shown him. There's, I think, if I'm not mistaken, three major shitas for what is Truma Daraisa. What is the level of Truma Daraisa? The classic shita, Tosos, Rashi, many other we've shown him, is Dagan Tirosh v'Yitzar. That only on grain, wine, and olive oil is one going to be chayav midareisa to give truma. Everything else is derabanan. So anything else, any other peros, any other fruits, anything else is going to be truma derabanan. So the halacha should be that if it's truma derabanan, you should say that the truma derabanan she would not be allowed to eat, and truma deraisa truma derabanan she would be allowed to eat, but not truma deraisa because she's a suffolk, whether she's really married to a kohen, and there you would have the chiddush within minei bay, the din of trumas. You don't have to jump onto another din of kachar kalim. That's generally how we stylistically like to line up mishnayos, that they should be the most organized and concise way. So here it would be the most organized and concise to use the same halacha that we can make a chiluk minei bay and truma, that truma derabanan she's allowed to eat because suffolk derabanan lakula, and truma deraisa you're not allowed to eat. So that's the kasha on Reish Lakish. I'll just point out, I already mentioned the Shita Rishonim, so there's another man of the Rambam holds that I think all the Shiva Seminim are Chayav Midareisa in Truma, and the Meiri, if I'm not mistaken, holds, oh no, the Rambam holds I think all fruits, and I think the Meiri holds another Rishonim also, obviously, hold that it's the Shiva Seminim. So you have the all fruits is one Shita, you have the Shiva Seminim is another Shita, and you have some who hold that only only wine, olive oil, and grain would be deraisa. Okay, so anyway, so why don't we make the din that Truma Derabanan should be different? And my answer is no. Halchanami Kamar. This is what Shulakish is saying. Kishihu Machila, when the Mishnah says that the Jurgenist entitles the wife to eat Truma, it means that Machila B'Truma Bizmana Zed Derabanan. He entitles to eat Truma only nowadays when Truma is Derabanan. Vein Machila Bizman Chazev Ashok, but he would not entitle her to eat during the time when the Beis HaMikdash was standing and the Kohanim would be eating Chazev Ashok. Even Truma Derabanan Bizman Mikdash, that's what we're trying to say right now. Even Truma Bizman Shabbos Mikdash Kayim, Din Derabanan, we would be Machmir. Why would Reish Lakish say that? Because Dilma Asiel Ocha B'Truma Deraisa, because we make a Gzera. When Reish Lakish said that he eats her to, allowed to eat, entitles her to eat Truma, and Nachazev Ashok, he meant to say that he entitles her to eat these foods only nowadays when the Truma is the only case that is existent. But when you have Kachi Kalim applied, and the Dima Truma Deraisa applying, so we're afraid they're going to make obviously mistakes. She's going to say, oh, yesterday I had these fruits which were Derabanan. I had my mango. I had whatever, my other truma things that I was eating, and therefore I ate those. So she's going to think, no, the next day she's going to be eating your olive oil and your wine, which is definitely deraisa. So that is the problem over here, and that's why Reish Lakish would be machmir, even the Bezman Beis Hamikdash on dinim derabanan. So now the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, af machila b'chazev ashok. Is it really true that he allows her? Not really, really true. They were saying, enechalami, that Rabbi, he's saying that minded deraisa, she's allowed to eat kachakalim. Do you actually hold that Truma nowadays is only a din derabanan? Is lachor we see from your statement based on Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, who say that Truma, that the androgynous Truma entitles the wife to eat Truma, refers specifically to dinim derabanan, but not to Truma deraisa. Tosos note that Rabbi Yochanan himself actually holds that Truma bismanazet is derabanan. He's just asking Rabbi Yossi holds that Truma nowadays is deraisa. He's asking that she does Rabbi Yossi, but in Echanami, he himself taka holds that it's derabanan bismanazet. So when his question is the following, meaning, do you actually hold that Truma nowadays is din derabanan according to Rabbi Yossi? Lachor, by your statement, Rabbi Yossi says that it's mutar bizman hazeh. But lachor, that wouldn't be the case when it's a difference of deraisa. So the Gemara says, Amar Leir Shlakish says to him, in, yeah, I really hold that way. Shani shona igol beigolim ola. Have a raya for this. But the case of the braisa, which talks about if you have a round cake of pressed figs, that was a igol devela, that was like a common, we had this in the Masechet Shabbos a few times, comes up, that if figs are apparently, that you had three different stages how they would press a fig. First, they would spread it out in a dry field. Afterwards, they would do a second stage. They would call it ktios. They use a miktar, using like a type of tool that was used to cut the figs and to remove the stems. And then in the third, final stage, they would make them into an eagle, a round thing which stuck together, similar to like a round cake, like a bundt cake or something like that. So that would be something like that we have over here. That would be the round cakes of pressed figs. So the halacha is eagle ola, that it can become nullified. It can become bittel. So literally, it's used over here that could be bittel, it could be vatel. So Reish Lakish learned that the Braisa, which was authored by Rabbi Yossi, taught us that if the round cake was pressed of figs with truma, became mixed up with 100 round cakes of other pressed figs of chulin, it becomes batel, and maybe in by non-Kohanim. Similarly, if the round cake with pressed figs of truma that was tame became mixed up with 100 round figs that was tar, it also becomes batel, maybe in by Kohanim. So this lachora is going to be based on Rabbi Eliezer and Trumos. The truma becomes nullified in a mixture that is 1 in 100. If it's less than that, that's the famous case of meduma. That if I have one apple of truma and it falls into 50 other apples of truma, so the halacha is that I have to all 50 apples I have to treat with kedushas truma, and I have to sell them all to. I could sell 49 apples worth to Kohanim because I don't give him the one the truma he was entitled to, but I have to sell him the 49 apples worth to a Kohen, and only a Kohen is allowed to eat it. However, if I have 100, so halacha is if it falls into 100, then I could take off one. I take off one, assume that that's the truma, I give that to a Kohen, and the other medin, but bittel, it could then be nullified. So the general rule when it comes to halachas of bittel is that bittel doesn't apply to something that's called a davar chashuv. There's different machlokes in what's considered davar chashuv. According to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, things that are counted and sold by the piece rather than by an omed. Omed meaning that you estimate, how much it is. You don't actually weigh exactly how much it is. Be'erech, like a half a bag full. Okay, I'll give you this amount. So that shows that it's not necessarily significant. So now the case of that we're discussing over here with the cards of the Igol Dvela. So in this case, lechora, when they're counted when they're sold. So then, why would one cake be nullified on the other? So Reish Lakish is understanding that the only way this can be understood is if we assume that Truma nowadays is a din derabanan, and that's why the cake's particular significance is not lechora going to be as chamor, and therefore it's subject to halachas of bittel. That's what Reish Lakish is holding. If, however, Truma nowadays would be a din deraisa according to Reish Lakish, then these igul dvela, then these cakes of figs would not become nullified, even a mixture of 101 and more than 100. So lachora, so that would be, we see that the din must be derabanan according to Rabbi Yossi. That's what we see from over here. So the Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan responds to him though. Amar lei ve'alo ani shone chaticha bechatichos ole. Rabbi Yochanan responded to him, but we learn in the Braisa that a slice of tameh chatas meat that becomes mixed up with slices of tar chatas meat, those do become nullified. That does have the lach of bitol. So lachora we see from over here that even dinim de araisa, obviously din of kachim, eating kachim in a tameh state is a din de araisa, maybe isser karis, you get an isser malkos for that. So those are commonly counted when they are sold. Meat slices are obviously sold by the piece rather than by estimation. You sell every slice. So then lachora, those are the dinim of bitol. So we see the fact that something is commonly counted and sold by the piece doesn't necessarily make it not shayach to the lachas of bitol. And therefore you can't learn from the case of the igel dvela that would be something which is a raya that it's dinder banan. Maybe it's ad taka dinder reisa, and it would be batel because lachora we see this, like, it would be similar to the case of slices of tamei chatas meat which are subject to lachas of bitol. So the Gemara says now, mi sarvart kol shadarkali manashaninu. Did you actually learn in the Mishnah, your Gersa Mishnah, that which is commonly counted is going to be a lacha that's subject to bittul et shadarkali manashaninu? As Rashi points out, that are you telling that's a lacha when that something is exclusively counted is going to be subject to halachas of bittul? Rish Lakish is proof that the Chuma nowadays is din derabanan was based on the fact that the igot veil of Chuma become nullified despite the fact that they are significant. The lachora, you would only be able to understand this case when you read the Tana's words that anything which is commonly counted is going to be significant and therefore not be subject to halachas of bittul. So therefore, if that was your understanding, then that'd be the case. Rabbi Yochanan is responding though, because it says no, that's not the case though. When it comes, you could say that lachora, that which is only exclusively counted, that's going to be the subject to the lachas of bittul, and if it's not, even if it's commonly counted, that's not going to be subject to the lachas of bittul. It would even if it's commonly counted, you could still say the lachas of bittul apply to it. So now the Gemara says, what exactly was this text that the machlokas about? So the Gemara says that really it's again in the lashon of Rashi, Rabbi Yehuda, sharei ani shona chaticha shachatas tmeah bittul b'torah. And you said chaticha ve'igol pamayim shem nimkarim ba'omed apagav deragilin lemanos ha'oil v'nim mechad mekach. That Rashi is telling us again, when something is generally, even though most of the time it's sold one by one, still that would be enough to be mevatel if it's not exclusively sold that way. So now the Gemara says, what exactly is the text that they're focused about? The following. The snan we learn in the Mishnah. Misha yilu chavili tilta an shel kalaya kerma. Someone had bundles of, it's translated as like some kind of legume that was used to sweeten the pot of food, Rashi says, that were climate of the vineyard, yidaleku, that they should be burnt. The lach of klai akarim is that the din of, is, if you have greens in the vineyard, and these growths are called klai akarim because they're mixed with the vineyard, and the kalaim are going to be in Isra da Reis, and you have to burn it. There's an Isra now based on the pasuk that says pentiktash, which we learn out tukareish, that it should be burnt in the fire, that's what we learn from there. That has to be burnt. Nisarva b'acheres, if these bundles became mixed in with other bundles of these legumes. So turning on to the next step. But now, the halacha is kulani daleku. They should all be burnt. That's the halacha with regards to kilayim of the vineyard. For that, we're going to say over there that they do not become nullified. Lachora, kilayim are batal with 1 in 200. That's the halacha with bittul. You do have 1 in 200. However, these things do not become nullified according to Remeir, even in a mixture of 1 in 200, because he understands that any item which is commonly counted when you sell it is going to be zavar chashiv. And zavar chashiv does not make something, does not have the halachas of bittul. Dear Rabbi Meir, the Chachamim say, Yalu be'ech agav, it's important to know what's exactly the Olya Sod with regards to bittul. Really, Midar Reisa, all of these things are bittul berov. Chazal were much more machmir that Truma is going to be 1 in 100, and Orla is going to be 1 in 200, and Klai Karim also 1 in 200. We're going to be much more machmir than these halachas because Midar Banan, it should be a hekka that it should be known. So what's the avort of Davar Chashev? Davar Chashev shows you that really you don't really have a mixture yet because there's something significant in your mixture, which is usher. It's, you can't tell that it's still a mixture because it's something which is there, which is never removed. You can't say that's removed and non-significant because it is. Then therefore, it's never going to be removed in your entire mixture. That's the lumdus behind it. So the Gemara says now, the Chachamim hold that these things become nullified in a mixture that totals 1 to 200 times the forbidden Isser. Unlike Rameir, the Chachamim understanding that the fact that an item is counted doesn't necessarily make it Chashuv, and therefore they hold that these dinim of these leeks over here, of these things over here, they're going to be halacha of, they're going to be subject to halachas of bittul, and therefore they would be batal in 1 to 200 like the regular halachas of batala. So the Gemara, from there we see that would be the Yisod HaMachlokas. So the Gemara says, Shehaya Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol Shadarkal Imanus Mekadesh. Rabbi Meir says that any item which is commonly counted and sold in individual units would make something, the entire mixture, unable to be mizvatel. even if it, you have, again, the right amount, 400, 1 in 400, 1 in 500, it doesn't matter the amount, because these things are commonly counted and sold, it shows that they're chashuv, and therefore, you would not be allowed to be able to have bittul. Chachamim amar no, eino mekadesh al shisha dvarim bilvad. The Chachamim say that only 6 things are going to make something non-able to be misbata. They cannot be nullified. What are these 6 things? So the Gemara is going to get into in a moment. Rabbi Kiva imer shiva, and the Rabbi Kiva says 7 things. What are they? Eluen. These are the things. So one is Egoze Perach. The Perach nuts is the name of a place, and Ramoni Badan, Badan pomegranates. Again, they were so known to be so chashuv, they had like the best pomegranates, the best nuts. So that was something everybody knew about, and that's why they're considered chashuv, and everybody sold them one by one. The chaviyos stumos and sealed cases of wine, the chalifei treden and beet stalks, the kaluche kruv, the cabbage stalks, Blas Yavanis and a Greek gourd, the Rabbi Kiva Bosif, Afki Karsil, Balabai's homemade loaves of bread, are considered very chashuv. They're larger than loaves that bakers produce, and therefore they're more chashuv, Tosafot point out. Haroi and la'orla, all these things are going to be subject to halachas of orla, and leklai glam, klai kerem, meaning that the orla applies only to fruit trees. So any of these halachas, meaning the ones that are shabbat, like the ones that are fruit trees, are going to be the rimoni badan, right? Those things are going to be subject to halachas and grapes. Those are going to be subject to halachas of these things. And the ones that are subject to kilayim, like the kilayim kerem, the vineyards, that's going to be subject to things of wine. That we're going to be usher with regards to kilayim. The beets and the cabbage and the gourds, those are also going to be subject to halachas of kilayim because they can mix in with kilayim of the vineyard. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan Tzavar et Shitar Kalimana Shanina. Rabbi Yochanan says, that which we learned, the correct text of Vermeer's Shita, in the Mishnah is that which is exclusively counted is going to be halacha of something which is chashuv. Only items that are always counted and sold by the piece and never sold by Omid, those are going to be halachas of something which is never batel. However, even if most of the time it is subject to bittel, and here specifically, your case it wasn't, then it would be subject to halachas of bittel according to Rabbi Yochanan. That's the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore, in our case, the fact that these eagle dvela are of truma become nullified does not demonstrate that truma nowadays is only a dinner. But you can't learn anything from that. Rabbi Shlakis argues, he said, Savar, he says, culture darkly, manashinu. He learns in the Mishnah that the correct text of Rabbi Meir's Shita is that any item that is commonly counted is going to be considered significant and subject to halachas of, and not subject to halachas of bittel. And therefore, in this case, when you say that these halachas of the case over here with regards to the figs, that is going to be something which is a raya that if we're saying that it's not subject to halachas of bittul, according to it really should be. That must be because it's only derabanan bizman hazeh, and that's a raya that it's a din derabanan bizman hazeh. So now the Gemara says, my chaticha, so now going above, Reish Lakish rejected Rabbi Yochanan, and he said that the case of the brisa, the sliced meat, is going to be bittul. The Gemara lechora is saying, what is exactly is that raya Rabbi Yochanan is referring to? The sign is the following brisa. Rabbi Yochanan says the following. Chaticha shel chatas tmeah. If you have a slice of chatas meat that is tameh, so, and therefore, it's aser obviously to eat. Shinir ava meachati choshel chatas tohoros that became mixed with 100 slices of chatas meat that are tahor and obviously able to be eaten. V'chein prusa shalechem hapanim tmeah. If you have the lechem hapanim bread that was, we write the lechem hapanim with the 12 loaves of bread that were baked, that were put there on the Shabbat, on Erev Shabbos, and they were removed on the following Shabbos, replaced by the other 12 loaves. So they were eaten by the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. So if you had one of them became Tmeah, Shinis Arva B'meah Prusa Shalechem Panim Torah, when they mixed in with 100 ones that are Tahor, Ta'ale, they can become Mizbata. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Lo Sa'ale, they cannot become nullified. This, the Gemara is going to mention in the Hemshech, that this is based on the concept that Rashi says of Min B'mino, that something that which is of its own kind, Rabbi Yehuda holds throughout Shas, is not going to be Mizbata. So now the Gemara says, "Aval chaticha shachatas tahora." In the case of a slice chatas that is tahor, shesarva mea chaticha shulchulin tahora, that became mixed in with 100 slices of chulin that are also tahor, v'chein prusa shalechem apanim tahora, shesarva mea prusa shulchulin tahora. And in the case of you have a piece of lechem apanim that is tahor that became mixed in with 100 pieces of chulin that are tahor, divrei akol lo sala. Everybody agrees that it should not become nullified. And Rashi explains why not. Because even the Tanakhama is being remodeled in this case, that they should not be misbatel, because after lamokha coin, in this case it's so easy. You could fix the situation by just selling it to a coin, behefsin mun, and it's a very small loss, so therefore we say we should be machmir on that. And therefore, even though Chaticha and Prusa Rashi says it's dark only manos, mishum hefsin mun, lo mevatlin on Isur Daraisa. Because of the hefsin mun, we are not mevatel Isur Daraisa. So this is a very important Rashi. The Prima Gadam is Madaik in this Rashi, that we see that even though that generally we hold that really only the 6 things are something which is considered exclusively things that are extremely chashuv and never going to be misbatel, so we see though that when it comes to a davar chashuv that's not on that list, if it's something which is going to have a hefsid muad, says the Prima Gadim, that we could see from here, halacha lamaisa, though you should be machmer and not be misbatale. And this explains, the Prima Gadim explains why everyone was bothered in the Shulchan Aruch and Simon Pei Vav and Yardea. He discusses eggs. He says that eggs, lechora, one should be machmer, that eggs should not be misbatale because you sell them, right, by the dozen, you sell them by 12, you sell them individually, so you're selling each one. You're selling there's a value to every single egg. So everyone has to kasha that. Chorim has to kasha on the Shulchan Aruch. What do you mean? It's not in the list of six things which we hold in the Gemara. Only those six things are never misbatel. So why should we say that there's no bittel by an egg that was a treif egg, that was a problem egg? So the Prima Gadim answers based on this Rashi that here, because it's a very small hefsed muat, because you could just sell it to a goy and sell these eggs which aren't that valuable anyway. So therefore, we're not going to be mekel on you to tell you that would be okay. So by the way, so the Gemara says though, we see the proof in the Brisa of Rabbi Yochanan that Ketani Mias Resha Tahala, that we see that from this Brisa, that the first part of the Brisa is teaching us that a slice of meat, although it's commonly counted when it's sold, it's going to come as batel. This lechor is against Reish Lakish, which says that any item which is commonly counted when it's sold, lechor is going to be considered halachically significant and never be misbatel. So how is Reish Lakish going to defend his position? So says the Gemara, Arav Chia Breder of Huna. No, Bini Mucha. We're talking about the Reish is talking about a case of a slice of chatas meat, or tamei lechem upon him that dissolved. Therefore, you can't say that it's commonly counted, and therefore it's going to be subject to halachas of bittel. So the Gemara asks, Yahachi my time to rebut it, but if it's going to be something which isn't significant, so how could Rabbi Yehuda say that it's something which is not subject to halachas of bittel? So the Gemara says, no, that because that's Rabbi Yehuda latayim. Rabbi Yehuda, like a shita we see all throughout Shas and Chul and Menachos, Rabbi Yehuda says, the Amar min b'minel lo batel. Rabbi Yehuda holds that something is going to be mixed in with its kind is not going to be misbatel, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda holds that when it comes to this mixture over here, if it's the same min b'mino, it's not going to be misbatel, even though it's not something which is chashuv, that for a different reason Rabbi Yehuda holds that it would not be misbatel. So Gemara says, "Va lo nimachmai." But if the case of tamechatas does not dissolve, what are you going to say that the Tanakama holds? Lo salad, he holds it doesn't become bittel. Adatani, so then the Mishnah stylistically, the Brisa doesn't line up stylistically. Adatani ava chaticha shachatas torosh never mea chaticha shulchulin torosh lo salad. When you mention that case of a slice of a chatas meat that is tar, that became mixed in with 100 slices of chulin meat that are tar, everyone agrees it doesn't come as batel. Niflag v'nisna bedita. The Brisa should have said this Mishnah, that say this chilik itself with the meat itself. The Brisa could have said the following: v'med v'amar, when one of these alacha of Ratana Kama, the time echatas meat becomes misbatel, bishinimucha, only when the meat becomes dissolved. However, lonimucha, when it's crushed up and dissolved, not really a chashuv slice anymore. Avalonimach, lo ta'ale, but when it does not become dissolved, it does not become nullified. The fact that the Brisa had to juice a completely different case, the case of a tar chatas meat coming in contact with chulin meat, to show that the case of Tanakama holds, that that case would not become nullified, Lechora understands that in this case, Tanakama would always maintain that does not become misbatel, even if the case in the meat did not dissolve. Lechora, that's what we see beferish from this Brisa. So the Gemara says, Tahoras, the Tana prefers to teach the case of a bigger chiddush of the case we're not going to have bittel by a tar with a tar, because Rabbi Yehuda is going to say his chiddush stark that when it comes to a min b'mino ain't a batel. We want to teach you that chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda in this point of the brisa. Okay, Be'ezr Hashem, we'll pick up with Reish Lakish, Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa, because it's already a new thing. Be'ezr Hashem in tomorrow's afternoon, we'll get the recording for Shabbos. Be'ezr Hashem, and with the recordings, we'll pick up with halacha the daf on daf pei gimel. Be'ezr Hashem.